in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here again, tossed by the waves to and fro like that of a double-mindedness, and here it is, draw near to God. And I guess that, I didn't even have that down for what I was looking at today. But my word of you today, or my word that God spoke to me in this week, I've been just going over and over, and it was good for me, I don't know, hopefully it'll be good for you, okay? And Father, so right now, as I begin to share what you have shared with me this week, and we bring it out of your scriptures, Lord, I pray that it is you, by that of the Spirit, speaking through me to touch the hearts of those that are here, that, Lord, they will receive it in a way that it will benefit them, that it will encourage them. And yes, Lord, that it will make us look at each of us individually and wondering where I'm at with that, because it's so important to hear your word and to fulfill it and to have you in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you abiding in? Who are you abiding in? And that just kept going through this week. I don't know why. I would just be driving, and it's like this thing would just come to me. And it was, you know, the scripture that we're going to pull out is in John 15:4, and it begins with just this beginning, and we'll kind of read the rest of it. But abide in me, and I in you. So all this week, it was just going through me. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. I'll abide in you if you abide in me. It was back and forth, back and forth. And as I began to just allow it to keep going, and that's not a big scripture to the point of just that verbiage right there, but it's the power behind it to think that if I abide in Jesus, he will abide in me. If I'm abiding in Jesus, if I'm going through a problem this week, or last week, he is there with me. Right in that problem, amen? He didn't leave me. He didn't kick me out the door and said, here, Tim, you're going to deal with this today. I've got other things to do. No. But I've got to abide in him daily, hourly, second by second, right? And it's hard. I'm not there yet. Anybody there 24-7, 100% of the time, with him always? You know, there's times I vary off of that. But throughout the week, when that verbiage keeps hitting you, abide in me, I abide in you. Abide in me, I abide in you. It's just like, woo! Wow! Yes, Lord! Pretty simple. He's done all he's going to do. And he says, I'm there for you. So this week, that short phrase, abide in me and I abide in you. We just shared it out of John 15:4. The New Century Version says this, remain in me, and I will remain in you. The easy read for us people that need easy read. That's me. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. And one last, the message. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. What more do you need to hear today? Right? We could say, amen, let's go home. You just need to abide in him, and he'll abide in you. And it's not easy, but he's done the work for us. Amen. Hallelujah. His word has helped us. His word is there to encourage us. The full phrase is, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in, what? The vine. Neither can you unless you abide in, who? Me, Jesus. As an example given in that of John about the true vine, we can read through chapter 15. It talks about, I am the vine. My Father is that of the vine dresser. And every branch, how many here is a branch? Yeah, I'm a branch. But every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Think about that. Let it soak in a little bit into your ground. You as the branch, Tim, you cannot bear fruit of itself. You're not going to bear the fruit unless I am in you. But I've got to abide in him as well, and he's in me. So this goes through this whole process of talking about the vine and the branches. And then in verse 5 again it says, he who abides in me, da-da-da-da-da. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out. Verse 7, abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I mean, we go back and forth, but the message of today is, you need to abide in him, and he will abide in you. So I began thinking of the times that I wasn't in him. Anybody been there without him? How was your day? How was your week? I was considering how that went. Usually it was not good. I had a lot of stuff I was dealing with. Maybe it's just one stuff, you know, not multi-stuffs. But I found that those times when I was without him and I tried it on my own, it did not last or it did not work. It maybe didn't even work from the get-go, or maybe it worked for a while, but then it fell apart because it was all in who? Me. And I left who I should have been abiding in, and when I leave who I should be abiding in, he says, okay, Tim, you're on your own, my friend. Go. Go. See how that's going to deal with you. But I know that I didn't have victory, or if I had victory, it was short-lived. So again, this phrase in my head. And here we've started looking at chapter 15. And it talks about that the fruit that the heavenly vine dresser looks for in his people is Christ-likeness. We can look at that in Galatians 5:22. What is that, Christ-likeness? In 5:22, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit that this heavenly vine dresser looks for in his people is that of Christ-likeness. If we have those fruits exhibited in our life, I believe we could say, he's abiding in me. Because when he's not abiding in me, I don't know about you, but there may be times I don't walk in peace. Could be times that I don't have kindness, faithfulness, or even self-control, or gentle, any of those things. I may not have those things acting in me, and then when I look at that and I'm not walking in those things, it kind of gives me a clue that, Tim, you're not walking with me abiding in you. And when that happens, I better get back to where I have him abiding in me. Because I want to abide in him, he in me. So in order to be a productive branch, we must submit to pruning. That is to the benefit of discipline by that of the Father. You're going to have some discipline in your life. Deal with it. Allow it to happen. It's good. Amen? Discipline is good. Hello? Discipline is good. With discipline, it helps you know how to react to a situation. With discipline, it knows and you know how you're going to react, because it becomes almost like, okay, I've been disciplined in this. I know how it's going to react or what I need to do and how we handle things. That's what God is wanting in our lives. So he's pruning us with discipline so that we don't do it again, or so that we know how to handle situations. Now, and then we... Now, how many people here, though, they get disciplined by God and they leave the vine? They take their branch and go, fine, I'll find another vine, you know? If he's going to prune me this, I don't know why, I don't understand it. Well, it's to make you fuller, it's to make you better, it's to make you healthier, possibly, because we can get into the natural of why we prune plants and things of that nature. But it's all for a purpose. Nobody prunes a real live plant or a bush hoping that they kill it, do they? Because if I hope to kill it, I'll take it down to the root, by golly. There, see if you can come out of that. But we find that it's all in purposes. But it's to help us to abide in him and him in us. I am no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. Have you been bought with a price? If you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer your own, and you better get that in your craw. That I am no longer my own. I am his, and he is mine. And I'm feasting at the banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. He prunes us in love. The world will prune you in, you know, anger and bitterness. And rather than pruning just a little bit, the world would like to chomp it off, you know? I don't know. Remaining in Christ means this. It's believing that he is the Son of God. Go to, let's see, 1 John. 1 John 4:15 says what? 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Tim, abide in me, and I abide in you. All this week, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. I got to stay close to God. You have got to stay close to God. This church has to stay close to God so that he abides in this church. We've shared in Revelations several times now. Again, I kind of even shared maybe in a prayer talking about in the beginning of the service, like how he says in his word that he's watching his churches. He is here today. He's walking through by that of the Spirit. He's seeing what is taking place in this service. But not just here, but every church out there. And he's paying attention to what's being shared. And he's hoping and praying. Well, I'm praying, I guess he's praying, but he's looking at the churches that are serving him. And speaking his word, and trying to be an encourager, and trying to say, hey, there's Harvester's Church. That pastor's telling them, abide in me, and I'll abide in them. Oh, this church over here is talking about, well, everybody has a right to what they want to do. We need to dumb down the gospel. We need to make everybody feel comfortable. Well, I don't know. Which church do you think he's going to be happy with? I hope it's with us, and it's not to make it that way, but it's my heart, it's him in me. Why? I abide in him, and he abides in me, and I'm going to say what he say, amen. And what he says he means, and what he says he doesn't backtrack on, he doesn't change it, he doesn't dumb it down, he says it as it is. All of these things in God's word, he says it for a purpose, to help us, to encourage us, to help us develop closer and deeper with him. And then we look at doing what God says. 1 John 3:24 says this. Well, wait, what was that at? Oh, not 3:24. Wrong place. Then receiving him as Savior and Lord. John 1:12. So big John. We just came out of there, but we'll go back to John 1:12. Now, as I look out there, I'm glad to see several going through their Bibles. That's awesome. Because you need to read this in your Bible. If you sometimes just hear it, it's okay, you hear it. But to the most of us, in us, it's like until you visually see something, does your brain start processing it and taking it in? We hear it auditorily, and that's okay, but to be able to say, hey, that's, by golly, that's, you know what, that's what my Bible says too. 1:12, it says this, but as many as received him, John 1:12, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We believe in his name. I believe you died for me. I believe Jesus, or God, sent you to die for me. Greater love has no man. For God so loved the world. Then I'm going to get back to, this is just kind of going through quickly, but just kind of understanding what this is all about, hopefully, that now we're doing what God says. How many of us do really what God says to do? Now, 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. And here again, what? And he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by what? The Spirit whom he has given us. 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and he in him, yes. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And we're going to look a little bit more into that of the Spirit. In 1 John 2:24, to believe the good news, it says, therefore let, 1 John 2:24, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. As I get deeper into these things, no wonder the Spirit all this week was telling me, Tim, abide in me and I'll abide in you. I find peace and comfort in that. I know there is strength in that. I know within that there's a way where there seems to be no way in that. But over and again and again and again, this abiding in me and being abiding in, it just, I don't know. Let's read this again. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and of that of the Father. So here it is. Now, why it is so important to abide in him, okay? Do you realize there's a force out there that wants to destroy you? Do you realize there's something out there that wants to take you away from your first love, that of Jesus or that of God? And if they can take you, if he can pull you away from that first love, he will destroy you and spit on you and chew you out. It says here, the two things will protect the reader from falling victim to the seductive teachings of the heretics. And the heretics are people, men, women, sharing, but they're sharing the wrong message, or they're not sharing the true gospel. But it's this, it says, one, constantly abiding in the truth concerning Christ, which they had received from the apostles. Two, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, whose illuminating power will enable them to distinguish from truth and error. To receive spiritual knowledge under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to know truth in a way that human instruction cannot provide. Human instruction cannot provide, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in you, will tell your spirit that what you've just heard from whatever somebody's sharing or teaching or pulling a scripture out and kind of massaging it a little bit, it's your spirit's going to say, that don't sound right to me. That doesn't seem to go where I think God is or what the rest of the scriptures are telling me about these things. So we got to be careful, and that's the point of this, abiding in him and him in you. Not just to have a good day, but to keep you safe from being pulled away from him by that of the enemy. And then the last one, in John 15:12, it says this, where we started, that this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We have to be relating in love to our fellow believers, to our church family. Amen? You walk in love, walk in forgiveness. And we're walking in love with those outside. But really, I mean, how do you walk in love to those outside the church if you can't walk in love to those in the church? Hello? What do they say? The church is the first one to shoot the wounded. Somebody comes in with something that they've happened, or they've backslid on something, or did something, whatever. And, you know, the church is, oh, get them out of here. Oh, we got to get them, ostracize them, or whatever. We're not walking in love. And so, I don't know. You are truly not going to be able to walk in love to those outside in the world if you cannot truly walk in love to those that are your Christian brothers and sisters. And that's hard. But God will help you. Amen? You will be able to walk in love. If you can't, ask God to give you more. Lord, I want to walk in love towards that brother or that sister here in the church. But they just kind of tweak me a little bit. Well, yes. But doesn't your family that you're from tweak you a little bit? Oh, yeah. Still love them. Even when we've had things that we didn't love at first, it's like, okay, I turn it over to God. and say, God, I'm not going to think about this in this family situation because I want to walk in love and what you desire, and I want to abide in you and you in me. So help me show this love to this person. But when you get into someone that you really build a relationship with and you know and you've got something going with them, it's just conversation and relational type building, sometimes you find out and it's, ooh. Then we go, wow, man, they're not walking in love to me. Chances are you're probably not walking in love either. Remember, we always point that way, but we got three fingers at least pointing back at us, you know. It's like, oh, man. Anyway, that's to remain in Christ means believing that he is the Son of God, receiving him as a Savior and Lord, doing what God says, continuing to believe the good news, the message of the Bible, the message of the cross, and relating to love to those of your fellow believers. Jesus tells us that we have a truly good life. We will have a truly good life to stay if we stay close to him. He gives that as an example as that of the branch attached to the vine. If you just attached yourself to the source, guess what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So, now, did you hand out the pad of paper and the questionnaire and all that they're supposed to fill out today? Oh, I guess I forgot to get it ready. Okay. Yeah, to just do this on your own. How's your nourishment going? How's your nourishment? And I'm not talking about food to sustain you physically. How's your spiritual food going? Stressed out? Frustrated? Angry? Maybe you're lacking some spiritual food. Are you growing? How are you looking? How are you doing in the growth of God? How are you maturing? Are you developing? Are you better now than you were at the beginning of 2022? Are you better now than back in 1996? Or have you just kind of stagnated? You've got to ask yourself these questions, people. How is my nourishment? How am I growing? Am I developing in the area of God? Am I vibrant for that of God? If you gloss over these things, you've lost. If you gloss over these things, I don't know if you're really abiding in him. Now, don't look at me as perfect. But I'm challenging you as I challenge myself. That where am I getting my nourishment from? Is it the news? Is it the TV? Is it the world? If you get your nourishment and nutrients from the world, guess what the world's got? Trash, garbage, toxins. It'll kill you. If I don't have time to spend with God because I'm watching this show and this computer thing and that computer, and I'm going here and I'm going there, and it's all Christian sites I'm going to. That's hubbub and that's a folly, because you don't get close to God by going on the computer and reading different Christian sites a lot. Sometimes God says, just stop everything and sit in your seat and let's just talk. And God would say, and Tim, shut up. Let's talk, Tim, but you don't say nothing.
Okay.
Kind of goes back last week, back when I shared about just that Saturday, sitting outside, even though it was chilly, and my jacket, my hat on and all. I thought, such a beautiful day. Put my chair out back on the sidewalk and sit there for a while. It's like, wow. Find time to get alone with God, that there's no other distractions. Because I'll tell you this, let one little distraction be there, and the devil will really grab a hold of that distraction and amplify it. Pretty soon you start out paying attention to God, and then all of a sudden you're like, boop, oh, look at that over there. Oh, there's that. Oh. And God's going, hello, focus. So today, how is your nourishment going? And are you growing? And are you developing in the areas of God? In your life, in your situation, and are you vibrant? Can people see something in you that's something that they don't have? So then when I got to that point, it's like this. Okay, let's take it out. I love looking at things in the natural then. So it hit me yesterday. I thought, well, I'm going to put in this and see what happens. What about the warning signs of unhealthy plants? Maybe we ought to use this as a check and balance for the congregation at times. Oh, let's see, an unhealthy plant. Is it wilting? Anybody wilting out there? Are your leaves vibrant? Are they green or whatever color they're supposed to be when everything's healthy and going good? Are they stretched like they're supposed to? Or at the ends of the leaves, are they like this? What about the change in color? It's supposed to be green, but it's looking brown now, looking yellow. Anybody out here have jaundice? That might be something else that we need help with. Okay. Well, you do. Sunlight. Get out and get some vitamin D outside. You know, maybe rather than S-U-N, if you're showing a little jauntiness in your spiritual walk, maybe you need a little S-O-N. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you dropping leaves, needles? Go back to those plants in the fellowship hall, and if they don't get watered pretty regularly, you can go by there just by accident and hit them. Boom, and all of a sudden, all I hear is leaves hitting the counter. Oh, great, I got to go with the vacuum now. The other day, I was back there doing stuff and whatever in the fellowship hall this last week, and I thought, well, I'll take care of these plants. But then I go, well, I better get the vacuum and suck all this stuff up. And then I get down to this side, and the leaves and the tree, the two bushes are there. And I go, okay, I guess, because I hit one by accident and, you know, 12 leaves fall off. I go, okay. So I go, well, before I vacuum, you know what I did? Huh? Oh, did I shake them? I took that tub of that thing and I just went, I don't know how long. Ooh, I'm going to get every loose leaf off of you, whatever it takes. And you know what? A lot of them came off. Went over to the other one. Said, did you see what I just did to your sibling over there? Now that bush is going, let's just start dropping them on our own. No, I grabbed that one and I said, hey, good there. It's going to be good for you. And I shook them to all, to empty, get all the dead off of it. Has anybody ever been shaken by God here? You feel like you've been kind of shaken by God? You think he's maybe trying to get some of your dead stuff off of you? Tim. He wasn't doing it in anger. He wasn't doing it out of spite. He was doing it out of love. Because the more dead I can get off of you, Tim, the more I can abide in you and abide in me. The more that we can be a team. Not that he needs me as his team, but he loves me. He wants to be with me. He wants me to be with him. Brittle leaves, powdery growths on the leaves, uncharacteristic slow growth. Why isn't this plant growing? It's not getting the right nutrients. It's not getting enough water. It's not getting enough sun. It's not getting whatever. See, these are things. Now take a look at yourself as that of a vine or a dresser and what he's looking for. How about a scorched leaf? The tips look like they've been burned. I've seen some Christians like that. They're scorched. Somehow they got away from the source. Somehow they forgot to take the vitamins. You know, they got that thing out there for the plants called Miracle-Gro. You know what? This Bible is full of miracles. And if you read it enough and dig into it enough, you'll find that it'll help you grow. The miracles in here, the things especially in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, what Jesus did, you just read those things, and it doesn't have to be a lot of them. You just read one thing, just like this all this week with me, abide in me and I abide in you. You just read a scripture of power of God or the power of Jesus Christ and what he did, and you just start letting that kind of develop in you. And you will see a development within you, I believe a growth in you of the Word of God. But then you just can't do that and not go back. You've got to go back again, maybe next week, or again later to keep this nutrient coming into your vine, or your branch, I should say. Now, when we look at the other side of that, if we're looking at healthy plants, now, this one here, when I went to say, what does a healthy plant look like? They only had just a few things. This one here is like a list, like, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 things. Whew. When you're doing bad, there's a lot of things that show. When you're having a rough life and when you're staying away from Christ and the things of God, that list of things in you that's going awry, you'd be surprised. It's a long list. Wow, it's because I've not stayed close to my source. But when I stay close to my source, you'll find out the positiveness of it. There's just like 5 or 6 strong things. But that's what it's all developed on in your life. It's just these things. So here it is. And let's take a look at a strong, healthy plant. It has firm leaves, well-formed flowers and fruit. Well, just 3 things I could only find. There's more out there to a point, but this is kind of like the basics. And it says a well-developed root system. Now, where is your root at? Where is your spiritual roots at? You got to grow. And some of those things that you know, and it'll say in here too about a plant that's not growing and developing, it might be root bound. So we got to make sure our roots are growing and they're in a pot that's big enough for them to expand. And as your life is going further with that of God, you might need to increase your pot, okay? Not this pot. I was on the wrong track for a while. Okay. You might have to increase the container. Okay, the container. That sounds much better. You might have to increase the container size to be able to have that deeper, more roots growing for that of God. And whatever that is, you figure it out. I don't have a clue. But you got to get a bigger container. You got to be willing to, well, we talk about, pour more of you in me, Lord. That's what it's about. So to keep Jesus abiding in us, we want to have his word in us. We also want him, in us as we have that of the Holy Spirit. Here we get into that Holy Spirit, okay? And we can get into this at Galatians 5:22. Now, okay, let's just go there. 5:22, Galatians 5:22. And it says this, 525, simple as this. You know, isn't it amazing? Sometimes the shortest little scriptures or the sentences make the most powerful statement. You don't have to read a paragraph. Just read this sentence and let it hit you. Is everybody there at Galatians 5:25? 5:25, Galatians. Somebody shout it out if you've got it. 5:25, Galatians.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
There you go. There's one sentence right there. If we do what though? Live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. When you live in it, walk in it. Amen. Now, also what got me into this, let me read a couple of versions here. Easy Read says, we get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. New Living says, since we are living and by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. See, we have got to live, we need to abide in Christ and Christ in us in every part of our life. Amen? Not just parts of what we want to give him, not partially of our life, not the things that we like, well, I don't need this area, so just let God have it. No, in every part of our life, we need to have him in us. So, every part. The Greek word for walk here is literally, if we walk in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, so the Greek word for walk here is literally walk in line with. To walk in the Spirit is to walk along a path that he lays down. Walk in the path that he lays down, right? So then I got this sometime back, and I went back to it. It was last month. And it's talking about in the Spirit. When I read this, here again, I read it over and over, and it was just like, but it's where I just read you, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. When a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and this is days of praise, that comes on an email. Believing on him as the Son of God and personal Redeemer, the one who saves him from his sins, a wonderful event takes place. The Spirit of God enters his very body, there to reside and to guide his new life in Christ. Henceforth he is, whether he senses it or not, in the Spirit. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man not have the Spirit of Christ in him, he is none of us. Romans 8, 9. So, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that Spirit comes into you. Pew! There. The believer's body even becomes a temple in which the Spirit can reign over his life. Well, here again. Have you resigned your life over to him? Are you saying, take it. Take it, God, it's yours. Okay, the believer's body becomes a temple in which the Spirit can reign over his life. What? What? Knowing ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own. For you, or ye, are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not, you got multiple gods, but God's. You know, our spirit, our whole being, it's his. It's his. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 is where you find that. So in addition to leading us through the scriptures that he inspired and through the circumstances that he has ordained, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, 16. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us the Spirit. 1 John 4:13. The indwelling, the comforting, leading, witnessing Spirit is not alone. For Jesus promised that when the Comforter comes to be in you, then through the Spirit I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. John 14, 17, 20. So even back in John 14, 17, 14, 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Thus we can be filled with the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:19. You can be filled with him, guys, right? He's there. He wants to fill you. Why do we want to be walking around without him? My goodness. And such a marvelous relationship will surely transform our lives. Today's verse exhorts us, if we live in the Spirit, we should certainly walk in the Spirit. The practical result is then obvious. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. So as we look at this, God is interested in every aspect of our lives. It's not just the spiritual part. He wants to be with us in everything. When we live in the Holy Spirit, or when we live in with the Holy Spirit in us, we need to submit every aspect of our lives over to God. And that requires that of the emotions, our physical, our social, our intellectual, our vocational. Now, you know, we submit every aspect and we turn them over or submit them to God. You know, yeah, we're all going to have a job or a vocation. It's not to say you don't do that, but just understand that it's God's. And God has put you there. And don't let that vocation become your God. We look at the intellect and things of that nature. But be careful, you know, we need to submit every aspect of our lives, because we get into that area of the social or the intellectual, and that can start kind of causing you to draw away from him. All of these things that we need to look at can draw us away. Our emotions, physical, social, all of this. So what we need to do is, when we live in with the Holy Spirit in us, we need to submit every aspect. We have to surrender it all. All. I think when we find struggles, and if we would talk to individuals, if I'm having a struggle, if I would really talk to myself, I would probably understand that I haven't submitted all to him yet. There's still something there that I've got to give. by that of the love and grace of God if I pray and say, Lord, help me understand this. What is it that I'm missing? What is it that it has a hold of me and I don't even realize it? And he will, in his loving, gentle way, begin to show those things to you. And then he's going to say, lay it down. Turn it over to me. Turn away from it. To keep in step with the Holy Spirit is to allow him to lead you through this life. Be sure not to allow anyone else or anything else determine your values and standards in any area of your life. Be sure not to allow anyone else or anything else determine your values. What are we allowing today to determine our values? The world. Well, what about the world's values? Have you seen anything crazy there? If we see that in the world, we kind of live with thinking, well, it's like that all over. I guess the values have changed. God's word says, I change not. What he calls sin, still the same thing. What he has warned us against, still the same things. But we got to be careful that we don't allow someone or something else to determine your values. How sad it is we've got churches that have allowed the things of this world to change the values of that church and where they stood for God and what their mandates were in the foundation of that organization, maybe back in the 1800s. And all of a sudden, they went through the 1900s, and all of a sudden they get into the 2000s, and all of a sudden begin to change some of those things of that, their stance and what they believed was sin and what was God. So many churches have allowed values of the world to come into it. I don't know why, to make us feel good with the world coming in, because we don't want them to feel like they're in a different place. Hello! They're going to know they're in a different place if they're coming out of the world into the church that has the Spirit of God in it. It ain't going to be the same. There's going to be a difference. We don't need to make our churches like that of the world so when they come in, they feel comfortable and they won't leave. They'll come in and they'll say, well, this is just like in the world. They may leave anyway. I might as well go out there, you know. Sometimes those people coming in that have a need, sometimes they can read the church better than the people that have been attending that church for a long time, because they'll come in and they go, this doesn't seem like that of God from what I've understood it to be. I don't know. That's just my thought. But we've got to take a look at ourselves. And we've got to stand individually and corporately as a body of Christ, that we don't allow standards of this world to come in and lower our standards. We are going to maintain a standard of what God's standard is and let the world get further away from it. It's going to happen. The world is going to slip further and further down from the standards of God. So we as a church don't need to drop ours just to kind of be close to them. We've had things like that we've talked about. It seems like, you know, the world and our standard, and it seemed like the world standards are going like this, so the church thought, well, to stay kind of close to them, we got to go with them. No, that's the lie of the enemy. The enemy's like, come here, come here, come here. We got to stay strong in the things of God. God's standard is not going to go any higher than what it is, because he has set it from the very beginning. Amen? Standard of God. Everything else below it needs to muster up and come up to it rather than us go down to them. Because what we have found in the world, you go down to this and the world drops even further. The devil goes, woo, succeeded there. I got the churches down to here now. I'm going to drop some of the more stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Not that I like heights, but I want my standard with that of God to be as high as it needs to be. And it's not going to change. And if we're going to have the world change, we got to have them rise up to that standard. Amen? But to rise up to that standard, we've got to be strong. We've got to be knowing who we are in Christ. We have got to abide in him so he can abide in us, so that we don't get caught in the guise and the mire or the clay and all that stuff out in the world, that pretty soon we find ourselves further away from him than with him. He says that of today, probably. Well, are you going to leave me too? Say that to his disciples, right? Where's everybody at? Where's those ones that I've healed? Where? Oh, they've all gone. And when he started saying things that they'd have to do, it got a little hard for them, so they left. The multitude left and said, oh, that's too hard for us. That multitude that left back then is the churches of today that I believe we could look at that to see that God is looking and say, well, I guess that church is going to leave me too. That whatever denomination, whatever. Wow. Anyway, that wasn't part of the message. But it turns out to be that when you don't abide in him and him in you, if this church does not continually abide in Christ and Christ in it, we will fail as a church. We will fail as what God has ordained to be accomplished here. And there's still more coming. We just don't know it. We don't see when, how, what, where. But God is still moving. Amen. So do not let anyone or anything else determine your values or standards in any area of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Just keep that, if nothing else. Guard that throughout this week. Be careful what they're allowing and what you're allowing in. And water yourself a little bit. Some of you might be looking dry. Watering of the Word. Let His Word water you. Let the Spirit come and refill you so that you're fresh and vibrant and flowing in the things of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for your Word. Your Word. It's your Word, Lord, that helps us, develops us. And it's your Word that keeps us close to you, Lord. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit in us, Lord, leading us and guiding us and showing us, Father. Continue to minister into our lives. Lord, I pray that we will go out this week. And I pray like you kept resounding in my spirit. I pray for the people here in their spirits, Lord, they will just hear you just gently say, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Pretty simple. It's not always easy. It's a simple thing to say. But with your help, with that of the strength of the Holy Spirit, I believe we can all abide in you because of your strength in us. Because your Word says, where I'm weak, you're strong. Thank you, Lord, for all of your positiveness. Thank you, Lord, for all of your encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an insight as to what you have for us individually and corporately as it turns into a church body. But Lord, I thank you for working in each one of our lives. Oh, Father, I pray now, Lord, as we go out that you will encourage each one. I pray that you'll keep each of us safe. I pray, Lord God, that you will just strengthen us in these days ahead and keep our focus on you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.